This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy, happy Friday. Welcome to the weekend in the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy. It is 8:06, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Bang it hard. Yeah. Come on, man. Lighten up. It's not the end of the world. We're getting close, though.
Some days it feels like. You never know.
Woo!
Oh, man.
We are in store for some gorgeous weather this weekend. Enjoy. Orange and Blue game going on Saturday. A lot of folks will also be watching the Masters second round in Augusta, of course, kicking off today. Justin Rose, he's got a bit of a lead, three shot lead, 7 under 65. That is some pretty good playing. Apple and Porsche are scrambling to beat Trump's tariffs.
Really?
And hurry up and get their stuff into the U.S.
Oh, man.
So if you're a Porsche dealership, I could make extra room for you. I could park and maybe even drive a little. One of your cars.
You'd let them park one of their vehicles in your driveway?
Park it for them even.
And you got to drive it once in a while because
sure.
It's not good for them to sit.
No.
You are such a giver, Bob.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah, these are a couple of companies, and there's other ones, of course, pushing everything they can into their U.S. stockpile so they can avoid the tariffs, various tariffs going into effects at various times. Trade partners, let's see, Trump's tariffs, 26% on India, 20% on EU members, went into effect on Wednesday before he reversed course hours later, announced a 90-day pause because they're willing to come to the table and negotiate it, make it right. And in fact, I believe it was one of the leaders from India pretty much admitted he doesn't blame Trump and that, yeah, they hadn't been treated fairly on trade. I mean, that was like,
yeah.
Wow. I mean, you talk about honesty. Yeah, that was quite refreshing. And because I think that, you know, India sees opportunities. And, of course, we do, too, as being, you know, strong trading partners. So, you know, they're going to come to the table. They're going to work. They're going to work something out. China is a totally different animal. China raised their tariffs. What are they at, 140% now? We're going to, Trump's going to double infinity tariffs. A quadrillion percent. I mean, I don't know. Where's this thing going to end? We can outlast China. No problem. They need money coming in for their exports a lot more than we need their exports, with the exceptions of some critical things. And, of course, that'll probably be the things they play games with first, you know, like pharmaceuticals. Well, we found that out the hard way, didn't we, during COVID, that our supply chains and how much we were dependent on other nations, especially China. And doesn't seem like the Biden administration seemed to be all that concerned about it. They didn't do anything that I'm aware of. You know, they did do a thing that was supposed to bring in more, you know, chip business.
Yeah.
And But then they diluted the bill to the point to where almost any of the manufacturers could get the deal, the discount, whatever that was in the works. Mm-hmm. It was designed initially to bring in manufacturing into the U.S. of microchips. But they ended up diluting it to the point to where chip manufacturers are already making a ton of money, made even more, and none of them had to do any deal to do business here. It wasn't until Trump got into office. He finally struck a deal with a major microchip manufacturer out of Taiwan that's going to build plants here in the U.S., pretty big one.
Well, instead, so many times if you had Biden involved in something, it somehow always benefited China.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
No, I don't believe in them.
Okay. All right.
Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and Jerry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bob. One of the issues we have to be concerned with China is that the United States is going into debt, credit card debt, and we're financing China to build their military and to compete against us and to further steal our intellectual property. And it's something that, as I stated and you guys have repeatedly stated, Trump is so right in terms of tackling this issue now. Why we have the buying leverage over them before they start to get such a middle class that they are not really dependent on U.S. markets, so we can leverage our buying power as their main client, if you will, to kind of come to the table and make deals, because basically we're funding their whole economy, and I think we hold leverage, and I think Trump sees that, and I think that he's very smart in terms of using this point in time to pressure China into renegotiating their trade deal. Otherwise, we just won't have an economy anymore.
Well, if you remember last time push came to shove between Xi Jinping and President Trump, Trump got the better of that deal. It doesn't mean he ripped off the Chinese. He got the better. He renegotiated the trade deal to the benefit of the U.S., trying to get it closer to being correct and fair. But the Chinese, I think, saw that as a great loss. And soon afterwards, you know, COVID was unleashed. Coincidence? I think I gave you my thoughts on coincidences earlier. So, what's going to happen now? And President Trump did say something along the lines of, you know, China wants to come to the table to negotiate, but they don't know how. Don't know how. And I'm not sure what to kind of read into that. In other words, I think just like, remember Trump formed a relationship with Kim Jong-un.
Right.
And no, but they wouldn't have let any other Western. He had the courage and the moxie, Trump did, to go into North Korea and meet with the guy and all that. And I think that he had Kim Jong-un on board of really...
Oh, yeah.
Changing a lot.
But
there's the, for lack of a better term, we'll call them the elders.
Yes.
Yeah. Not church elders, but the government elders, I guess is how you'd look at it. They're all hard line. They're hardcore. There is no other way. I mean, they are, you know what I mean? Dedicated like a religious belief. And you don't stray from, you know, that commie line and that authoritarian government. I mean, they rule with, you know, talk about an iron fist, and I think they would have none of it, and that's what ruined what could have been awesomeness and a change in that whole, you know, Pacific and Asian area. So I think it's similar in China. Mm-hmm. Xi Jinping doesn't want to lose, and part of the reason why he didn't want to lose, first, it's cultural. You don't get to that position in life without being a winner in ways. But it's also the pressure back home and trying to convince, because it's the military side of it. You know, the Chinese, you know, their fighting forces, they're the hardliners, so to speak. So he's the face of it. Xi Jinping. Mm-hmm. He does have some power, but he's definitely the face of government. But behind the scenes, they're the hardcore rulers.
And does China have influence over Korea in that sense as well? Kind of like, maybe not a big brother, but the bigger kid on the block.
Yes.
There's something there.
There's a relationship there where, when convenient,
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's like they send word to Kim Jong-un, hey, a little saber rattling around now would be good. And then China, in a quiet way, says, oh, you want him to quiet down? Then maybe we can come to terms on X, Y, and Z. So
yeah.
They know how to negotiate.
They're good manipulators.
They, I don't know, they at least want to, I guess, look tough.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how it all goes. It's 8:16. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is in the house, and we've got plenty more to talk about, including Trump is cuckoo. That's the new talking line. Oh, I'm not kidding you. That is a new talking point from the left. You'll hear it all weekend long and probably into next week. That's what they're going to try to push now. After covering for somebody truly who was not in a good mental state, Joe Biden. 8:16, News Talk, 97.3 The Sky. Couple of interesting bills floating their way through Tallahassee that has to do with the decoupling of horse racing and gambling and how that could have a pretty big impact on horse racing in general and the community related to that. And we are part of the horse capital of the world. So, yeah, we've got a special guest joining us, David O'Farrell. That's at 9:05. Thanks for listening to us, The Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy, we thank you. It's 8:21. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. We've got your tickets for Rock the Country, the big festival for We the People that is going to be held in Ocala May 9th and 10th, featuring Kid Rock, Hank Jr., Nickelback, Tracy Lawrence, and more, and 97.3 The Sky. We've got your tickets, and we're going to give them away Monday. So you just get the code word, and then you text and have a chance to win your tickets. Message and data rates apply. But that's going on Monday morning during the morning show between 6 and 10. Tickets on sale now at rockthecountry.com. So tariffs, the talk of the terrible tariffs. Trump is destroying, you know, our retirement accounts, our 401ks, our under destroy. He's lit it all on fire. Nope. The market does not like any kind of change, and even more so, they hate uncertainty. And they also are not crazy about Donald Trump. And here's why. You used to think of the fat cat Republicans and the fat cat Wall Streeters, you know, hanging out together. Well, you know, that used to be the case. But that actually began to change decades ago. And the last few cycles, at least, Democrats... We got more money from Wall Street than Republicans, in some cases a lot more. So that has all shifted and changed. And the Republicans are now the party of the working man and the working class and the middle class. And the Democrats, they are caught up on all these wacky kind of single issue ideas, but they've also sat on their hands and watched, you know, jobs disappear to offshoring. NAFTA was, you know, a Democrat under Clinton, that radically changed our manufacturing. I mean, if there was one big thing that really struck a blow, you know, it was NAFTA. So here we have a president who is not really a politician. He's a businessman. And he wants to make life better for Americans. And he sees a bigger picture and a longer road. And he wants to leave a legacy for his kids and grandkids and our kids and our grandkids. Not just thinking about, well, you know, what can I do during my term? What can I lay the foundation to? Well, the reason that irritates Wall Street is because Wall Street is greedy and, you know, as Kirk Douglas's son, Michael, would say, you know, greed is good. Of course, he was playing a character. But, yeah. It is good in some ways. It can be a motivator. But in this case, Wall Street was willing to do anything to increase profitability. And companies followed suit to make Wall Street, quote-unquote, happy. We saw it firsthand happen, in fact, in this industry. We saw the changes, and I can tell you, for the workers and quality of the product, it has suffered immensely as a result. But President Trump is trying to fix that. Now, if you pay American workers a decent wage to make a product, the cost of making that product is going to be higher than it would be in China, where they basically have either slave labor or near slave labor or extremely low paid labor. So, yes, Americans have to be willing to pay a little bit more for their products. But at least you're paying for something real.
Right.
You know that Americans are working versus inflation that is the silent, you know, non-existent thing that just steals your money. Doesn't go to anything per se.
Oh, you mean the Biden administration?
Yeah.
Where everything just kept getting more and more expensive. And he told us, not really. It's just, you just think it is.
Somebody should have taken action a long time ago, and that's one of the reasons why Trump has said, look, I don't blame China for these, you know, the trade differential. That was my predecessors. Mm-hmm. They allowed that to occur. China just took advantage of it. We're going to stop that. China's not going to like it, clearly. Nobody likes a gravy train to, you know, be stopped or on hold or have less gravy. Yeah. Here's some good news already coming out of the tariffs that some are complaining about.
Wait a minute. You just said good news and they're complaining?
Yeah. Well, look, the lefty media is going to complain about anything that Trump does. They're never going to accept or be honest of anything positive occurring at all. They just don't operate this way. They purely run on agenda alone. There is absolutely no virtue. There is no journalistic virtue at all on the left. They are part of the destroyers, the progressive left. They are destroyers. They're not builders of anything. They're destroyers of things. That's how they operate. So they want to try to destroy the presidency of Donald J. Trump. So a Swiss company, Novartis, pharmaceutical company, announces $23 billion investment in the U.S. This will be over 5 years. This will be building facilities. They have three now. They'll increase to 10 facilities. And this will mean approximately 4,000 additional U.S. jobs. And it will put us in a better position should supply chain issues come around again. At least we'll be producing some of our pharmaceuticals here. And if other companies follow suit, and I believe they will, then we're going to be manufacturing very important, critical stuff here, which is the way it should be. Putting America first. Donald J. Trump. Keep going. Keep going. We've got a lot more coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and you are listening to 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome and happy Friday. It's 8:34. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. So is the weekend, and it's going to be awesome. Orange and Blue game is tomorrow, 1 o'clock kickoff, but festivities around the stadium begin at 11 a.m. World Championship basketball, our men's Gator basketball team, will be on hand. You've got the Masters Tournament underway. Yesterday, the first round played in Augusta. Justin Rose has a three-shot lead. He shot a 7-under 65, and so, it'll be another gorgeous day on the links for those folks, and for those that are you're walking and taking it all in, that is an expensive little vacation for many to go to Augusta. Apparently, the folks there in town, they're willing to leave their homes because they can make such a profit off of renting it out during that time.
Isn't that a crazy thing? I mean, you could probably make your house payment. You know?
Yeah. For a few days, and some. You know? Oh, no. And some. It is.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It is.
But hey, look, you've got a market willing to pay. That's right. It exactly. Mm-hmm. I love it. Oh, making fun of Tim Walz. What a, you know, what a fun yet simplistic sport.
He makes a knucklehead at times, but it's always been to do the best I can.
He's kind of a knuckle dragger too. it is. It's too easy to pick on him. He's an easy target.
But Bob, he's masculine.
Yeah, and he's going to kick MAGA supporters' butts.
Yeah, right. Like a WWE match.
He's a guy that he just doesn't have credibility when he tries to be masculine at all.
He's Dukakis in an army tank with a big helmet on.
Yeah, well, so we'll call him Dukaka.
Yeah. There's plenty
little
of
little Dukaka.
Yeah.
As the failed vice presidential candidate took the stage in the Capitol Rotunda, he was met with a barrage of boos,
ooh,
along with some cheering and a heckler yelling, "Coward!"
Wow.
And telling him to shut his pie hole in a not-so-nice way.
Wow.
"You sympathize with the Chinese," another attendee shouted.
He does love him some Chinese.
And we're not just talking about the food.
No.
How many times? Did we ever establish exactly how many times he was actually in China?
Way too much.
I mean, I think it was more than a couple of dozen.
And then you look at who he kind of hangs with and does business with there in his home state from China.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, some of the crowd pushed back against the hecklers, and Walz responded, "Hey, there's some passion in the building, which is a good thing." And then broke into song and dance with YMCA blaring over the speakers. And he alternatively went from cowboy to gay biker to Native American and construction worker. He played all the roles.
That's amazing.
And apparently he did such a good job, they stopped heckling him and started cheering.
Amazing.
Part of that story was made up. When Walz was former Vice President Kamala Harris's running mate, it came to light that he had claimed since 2005 that he is a retired command sergeant major, an E-9 rank, even though he is actually a retired master sergeant, an E-8 rank. He also claimed he carried weapons in war.
Except for one part of that story wasn't true.
That he never deployed to a combat zone in his 20-plus military career. Hey, look, not everybody's going to see combat, but you contributed to your nation. I like that, and I support you. But there is never any good reason to exaggerate what you've done. That is not that is the exact opposite of a true warrior. You know, you don't have that warrior spirit when you decide that, you know, making the story more interesting or exciting or trying to make you look tougher or something that you're not.
No.
That just crushes, I mean, whatever warrior spirit you might have possessed. You definitely don't. You've kind of made the whole thing hollow. And you know who else did that? That senator that I hate from up.
Who
lied and said he was in Vietnam.
And yet, people like that will continue to put themselves in front of the public, and they will blast other people for things that are far less than what they did. It's like, do you have a mirror? Do you understand what you did?
Yep. Apparently, he has also lied about being eligible to retire from the military the same week as the 9/11 terrorist attacks, but choosing to re-enlist out of a sense of duty. Apparently, it was a lie, since although his military contract was up, he was not actually eligible to retire until later. And the Harris-Walz campaign has never addressed those lies, only claiming he misspoke when he claimed he was in war. Later, he blamed his passion and grammar for that lie. But if you remember, the context in which I recall that lie did have to do with hampering our Second Amendment rights. Wasn't that it? Didn't he say, "I know something about, you know, weapons of war. I carried weapons in war." Mm-hmm. Wasn't that how it was used? You know, kind of backing up the Joe Biden and the constant gun grab that they're up to always. It's just, you know, a different a different play out of their same old playbook that ends in somehow them trying to stop law-abiding or make it more difficult for law-abiding citizens to be able to defend themselves and, much more importantly, protect us against an evil government regime. All right. So, yeah, they gave him a hard time. He got some heckling. He's, you know, I don't think he's necessarily a bad person or bad human being. I don't really know him.
Right.
There's something not right about him. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
That's a
there's
good way to,
something,
something's off.
Yes.
Just a tad.
Yeah. And these kinds of, you know, impressions, this is very important for people that are in the public eye and that, you know, depend on elections and stuff like that. And they,
right.
Yeah, there's something that,
and,
yeah,
and
it doesn't
you
quite,
can't really, it doesn't add up, and you can't really nail exactly what it is. How much is intentional? How much is just, oh, he's just a little, it's like they used to do with Joe. You know, he's like, oh, Uncle Joe, it's just him. You know, it's like that quirkiness is okay, and it's kind of pacified a little bit. It's just him.
That's just Joe.
Yeah, well, that just turns out to sometimes be the neighborhood perv, and in his case, the family perv.
Yeah.
You know, ask his
he's
daughter.
He's just sniffing yeah. hair. That's just Joe.
Yeah, showers with who when they were little? Don't worry about
God.
It. No. Yeah.
Well, I mentioned this earlier, and apparently a caller had said something to Greg off the air. A story that probably maybe should be a little bit more prominent now, yeah. in all fairness or honesty. I heard it with Laura Ingraham last night on the Fox News channel. And she even referred to it. She got into it a little bit, but almost in passing as part of a larger topic. And it has to do with China. And according to the New York Post here, China acknowledges its role in years of cyber attacks against U.S. And the reason... I don't know the exact reason why they might be admitting it,
mm-hmm.
but the reason why they claim that, you know, they were doing the cyber attacks, it had to do because they felt like our continued and possibly elevating support of Taiwan.
That's
the, you know, that's kind of the meat of it. But here's the deal. Chinese officials shocked their American counterparts during a secret meeting where they allegedly revealed Beijing was behind a series of cyber attacks against the U.S. due to Washington's support of Taiwan. This is according to a new report. Officials from China and the former Biden administration met in secret last December in Geneva amid growing tensions over threats to Taiwan's sovereignty, with Beijing dropping all pretenses and revealing that they played a role in hacking attacks on U.S. ports, water utilities, airports, and other targets dating back years. Some of this originated in reporting in the Wall Street Journal. The extent of Beijing's role was left ambiguous, but U.S. officials interpreted it as a clear threat regarding America's support of Taiwan as an independent nation. All right, so the secret meeting was held with top officials from both nations, led by Nate Fick, then U.S. Ambassador at Large for Cyberspace and Digital Policy, along with Wang Li, a top cyber official with China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. While China had previously blamed all claims of cyber attacks and espionage on rogue hackers. You know? Oh, those, yeah.
Yeah,
they
right.
might be here in China, but we have nothing to do with them.
Uh-huh.
The Volt Typhoon Group was one of them that, yeah, wow. It must be them.
Yeah.
Well, Wang made it clear that the hacks were a direct result of the situation in Taiwan, which Beijing insists will be annexed in the coming years.
My goodness.
Yeah. Remember, number
scary
one producer
stuff.
Of microchips, Taiwan.
Yeah. All the more reason.
China
that
takes
we...
them over and.
Yes. They can cut us off.
And we need to. And we are preparing, but we've got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, we do.
Wang's comments came after the U.S. warned China that attacks against critical civilian infrastructure could be viewed as an act of war. Beijing's comment was especially shocking, given that the U.S. team wanted to give China a chance to dispel doubts that it was involved with the hacking attacks. In other words, they were kind of hoping that they'd say, yeah, we really didn't have anything to do with it. Instead, they turned around and said,
we did it.
Yeah, we did it.
We did it.
We don't like how you're protecting Taiwan.
But you know, that's the game, though, that Russia and China both play. Anything you do is, oh, you're threatening us. You're threatening us, so whatever we do, in our mind, is justifiable.
And making it worse, apparently, when this, you know, meeting was brought to the Biden folks of what, you know, what was revealed there.
Yeah.
Apparently, they were all like, well, yep, that's too bad. There's nothing we can do about it.
Wow.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it? 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy, happy Friday. Lots of things to look forward to. We'll talk about that, your headlines, and more coming up on 97.3 The Sky. Another day in paradise. Enjoy, my friends. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. And, well, we've got a lot to talk about. Special guest coming up, David O'Farrell, and he's going to explain, you know, some of the issues about a couple of bills that are going through Tallahassee right now that are designed to decouple, you know, I guess the horse racing industry and gambling into, like, different entities, and how it could negatively, really negatively impact horse racing. And, of course, we're right in the midst of, you know, the horse capital of the world. So, yeah, we have some real legitimate concerns on that. And we are going to talk to him. He is going to be with us in just about 10 minutes or so, 10 or 15 minutes. So hang in there. Also, one of your top headlines, six killed Hudson River helicopter tour crash, including children. So basically a family that were visiting from Spain. And the pilot also perished. And it looked like this helicopter almost disassembled, if you will, busted into pieces before it even hit the water. And it was just coming back for some sort of a quick refueling stop. And, of course, it never made it. And it's a terrible, terrible tragedy. All right. So look for the positive, right? Like playing pickleball.
Yes.
So many people are into it, including myself.
You are.
I love it. I miss tennis, if I'm being completely honest, but pickleball is fun, and it's so easy to get kind of a game going, if you will, because there's so many people playing it. And Betsy Pepin recognized that a few years ago and put it in part of her charitable organization, Pepin Gives, and put on a tournament. Well, it's time for the third annual Greater Gainesville Pickleball Open, presented by Pepin Gives and Comfort Keepers, and it's April 26th through the 27th. Trinity United Methodist Church will be one of the sites, also the 300 Club, and they raise money for Alachua Habitat for Humanity. And the goal is to raise $50,000 to break ground this summer on a home for a grandmother and her grandchildren right here in North Central Florida. And Pepin Gives has been doing this successfully for a while. And if you're into pickleball, of course, they've got all the different levels, you know, that'll be covered. So you get to play with people that, you know, within your skill set and do it for a good cause. So for more information, go to pickleballbrackets.com and then look for the Greater Gainesville thing. All right, pickleballbrackets.com. Yep, that's going to be be a great time. It always is. A lot of sociability involved in the pickleball, you know. A little more laughs, a little more relaxed environment than tennis.
Yeah.
Although tennis has kind of been, you know, kind of relaxing through the years, but you'll still get some hardcores. They're like, can you quiet down over there? It's like, no, I do this for fun, bozo. Are you playing for money? No. Then you shut it. And hence the reason why
you're a charmer on the.
Hence the reason why I'm not invited maybe so often.
Maybe that's why they're letting you play pickleball.
No, I'm always. Everybody knows I'm always nice. Anyway, so you've got that going on. Whew, we got the orange and blue game. That is.
How do
tomorrow.
You decide who you vote for? Who you're rooting for?
You just yell orange,
blue.
I guess it depends on which side you're sitting on.
I guess.
I don't know. But they had like 48,000 people last year for this. It's free, by the way, free to go see your Gators play. It's a great opportunity. And a lot of times they'll do like autographs and other things, get together. So they'll have the championship basketball team there. Yeah, the NCAA men's basketball champs. your Florida Gators. I love it. The Masters going on today. Augusta, this round two. My cousin, Justin Rose. Not
yeah.
really.
Oh.
7-under, 65 yesterday, three-shot lead. And that is just, it's beautiful. Just to look at the greenery. The only thing the TV lacks is the ability to show you how crazy it is on the greens. You know what I mean? You look at the putts, and it's like, I wonder why he's putting to left field when the hole's over here, and then the ball goes all the way around.
You're talking just because of the angles of the ground itself, or wind, or all of the above?
No, it's the angles that don't appear accurately on TV.
You don't get that true 3D kind of look in
correct.
That sense.
Okay. Correct. In other words, it all looks straight line. There's the hole. There's the ball. You just putt it straight in the hole.
Yeah.
But that's not the case, especially in these very challenging courses. It can be pretty dramatic. That's why you'll see sometimes a shot that's big. It's looping around. You're like, what? And they sink
the
magic putts. And it is. It's exciting. It's a lot of fun. I have you play the game just a little bit, and you'll have this crazy respect for it. What these pros make look easy, and a nice little backspin on the ball. Pretty crazy happy when I hit one fairly long and fairly straight. You know,
that's right.
It's a good time.
Yeah, that's a win.
Takes dedication. There's a lot of intricacies.
I admit it. I don't think I have the patience for it. Years and years ago, went out to the range with some friends that thought, maybe this is something I want to get into because they were really into it. It just never got me to the point that I don't know. I'd be too frustrated at myself all the time.
It is. Here's the difference between that and, say, tennis or pickleball.
Okay.
If you make a mistake in tennis or pickleball, it's like, we're serving them up. The game moves forward. You don't have time to think about it. Oh, I should have hit the shot over here. Why did I go for, that sideline when clearly, I didn't have to push it that close? Whatever.
There's no time for lamenting.
You don't have time for that.
Yeah.
But you hit a bad shot in golf and you have to walk like 10 miles. What feels like 10 miles?
At that point,
or you're
lazy
like me and you're in the court, but it's still a long ride. You're going to be, that really sucked. That really sucked.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to make up for it. And then if you hit two sucky shots in a row.
Man, good point.
Golf is all about remembering your last great shot, because otherwise you would never do it. Anna Navarro, she's one of the talking heads. Jasmine Crockett, Kooky Crockett, Crazy Crockett is one of them. The new talking point is President Trump is crazy. No, I'm serious. That's their new talking point. We'll dig into that during the 9 o'clock stretch, but we'll kick things off with David O'Farrell talking about gambling, horse racing, and how important it is to this community. 97.3 The Sky.